Good morning. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is August 1st, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. The Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium is changing the way it provides Medevac services to patients across Southeast, although patients will likely not notice the change. The healthcare provider is ending its own Medevac program, which employs flight nurses while contracting plane and pilot services through other companies. Instead, it will contract with a single provider, which will employ its own flight nurse staff. Michael Jenkins is a spokesperson with Search. He says with stagnant funding from the federal government through Indian Health Services, executives are trying to find ways to save money.
I think that they really were reluctant to do this, but the bottom line was that, you know, upper management was very aware that there were probably better, more efficient ways to do the same thing.
The change means the loss of three flight nurses who have a combined total of more than 30 years of employment with Search. They are being offered registered nurse positions elsewhere within the system. Search uses Medevac services to transport patients with the native health benefits from rural Southeast communities to medical services in Sitka, Anchorage, and Seattle. Medevac, under the new contractor, will continue to all locations already serviced, Jenkins said. The changes in how Medevac services will be structured at Search is not a new idea. Evelyn Bison is the vice chair of Association of Air Medical Services. The Virginia-based trade organization represents the companies and staff of air medical providers across the United States. She said the switch from an in-house Medevac service to a contracted one is growing in popularity for health providers across the country.
A lot of hospitals are starting to get out of the air medical business and allow an operator to come in and provide air medical services outside of the hospital, which absolves them then of the financial responsibility as well as any liability risks.
Jenkins said Search will contract with a single Medevac provider after a competitive bid process. He estimates a decision on a new provider will be announced by October 1st. What helps or hurts the health of Gulf of Alaska's fisheries? More than 40 scientists from 11 institutions are searching for answers as part of a five-year study of the Gulf's vast ecosystem. Among other things, they are creating a baseline of data to help determine climate change's impact on fish growth and populations. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld paid a visit to one Juneau research facility to find out about its part of the study.
The fish come in here and then we weigh them, and then we have to cut their stomach contents out, and then we'll probably look at those to see what the contents were.
Ron Heintz opens a glass case in one of the laboratories where he and his team are studying ground fish. He pulls out a test tube holding what looks like a small amount of powdery dirt.
They get dried and then ground into this powder here, this homogenate. So that's just a dried pulverized fish.
Heintz is a program manager for the Alaska Fisheries Science Center at NOAA Fisheries Ted Stevens Marine Research Institute. His office overlooks Favorite Channel, an inside passage waterway about 15 miles northwest of downtown Juneau. But Heintz and his team are focused farther to the west in the Gulf of Alaska.
What we're really interested in is how climate is influencing the survival of juvenile fish that contribute to these fisheries. So you have, you know, a fishery is conducted on, say, rockfish or pollock or Pacific cod, and we need to know how the juveniles enter those populations so that we can manage them more effectively.
The focus here is on juvenile ground fish. In addition to pollock and cod, they're studying sablefish, Pacific ocean perch, and arrowtooth flounder. Others are researching predators, factors affecting food, and differences between the eastern and western Gulf. Information is being gathered at more than 200 locations along the ocean shelf, from southeast Sparinoff Island, north to Yakutat, and west to the Kenai Peninsula and Kodiak Island.
A lot of studies are very single species, single mechanism. This is a real attempt to understand how the ecosystem works as a whole.
Phyllis Stabenow is an oceanographer at NOAA's Pacific Marine Environmental Laboratory in Seattle. She says this project is looking at several species and changing conditions such as temperature, current, and rainfall.
The reason
live species of fish, is species interact. The system is very complex, and we're trying to understand the major drivers of what results in survival.
Before they can be studied, the fish have to be caught. Once they're brought to the lab, Heinz and his crew run them through a series of tests.
For the rockfish, it's very difficult to tell the little babies apart, so we actually have to then send them off to do a genetic analysis so that we can identify what species we actually caught.
They're checked for protein and fat content, plus other tests using a variety of equipment.
If the fish is doing really well and has a lot of body fat, then we would think that the fish is in pretty good condition, and it's probably not too concerned about lots of predators. It's finding lots of food. It's living at an optimal temperature. The currents are providing it with the things that it needs to have a happy life. If the fish is really lean and not putting on a lot of fat, then it's probably suffering somehow.
These and other tests, when combined with other parts of the study, give researchers a better idea of the health of groundfish stocks. It's information needed by scientists and fishery managers, but why should everybody else care?
Because most Alaskans like to eat fish, and our job is to provide those fish and to make sure that those fish are available for your kids to eat and your kids' kids to eat, and this is the only way we know how to do it, is to make sure that we don't overfish the stocks, is by understanding how the ecosystem works.
The Gulf of Alaska study is scheduled to continue through next year. In addition to the immediate information, what's discovered will give future researchers a well-documented reference point. This is Ed Schoenfeld, reporting from Juneau.
Library patrons headed out the doors of the Old Public Library in Petersburg Friday afternoon, carrying armloads of books and root beer floats. Staff and residents marked the closure of the facility on the second floor of Petersburg's municipal building with excitement for the opening of the new public library in just over a month. Joe Vicknicki reports.
Teacher Dan Sullivan and the group Kids Rock entertained the crowd Friday as area residents loaded up with bags of books for the next month. The library encouraged people to take out as many as they wanted and keep them until the new facility opens.
Yeah, my name's Torin Funt.
Okay. And you're here checking out the old library?
Yeah, check it out, get some more books before it goes away.
How many years have you been going to this spot?
17 years.
And any special memories from this space, or...?
No, just lots of good books.
I'm Sandy Hall from Magalia, California.
And you're just checking out the old library?
We've never been up to it. All the years we've been to Petersburg, I've never been to the library.
Okay.
So this is the first time. My niece, Sharon McKay, brought me up yesterday and we checked out a couple of things.
So you're here just in time to see the old, out with the old.
I know, out with the old. And I guess when we come back next year, it'll be in with the new.
What do you think about this space for first time seeing it, for having a library?
It's
here.
Very cramped. I'm so glad you have a new library. You need a new library. And it's a beautiful library.
Borough librarian Tara Alcock was glad the last day had finally arrived.
It feels wonderful. It feels really great. It's definitely a day we could never imagine coming, and all of a sudden here it is, so very exciting.
The municipal building was built in 1959, and the public library moved there from the telephone exchange office the following year. Supporters of a new facility have been planning for an upgrade for over a decade, faced with cramped quarters, a leaky roof, and other problems in the second floor space. Alcock was not feeling any nostalgia for the old library building.
We've actually done, I think that the staff has done a pretty incredible job of running a really good program in this library for a lot of years and sort of working against the tide of, you know, problems that they encounter. I think they've done an admirable job, and I think it's going to be wonderful to see what they can do in this new facility.
President of the library board, Mary Ellen Anderson, was feeling a little more melancholy with the closing of the old facility.
And while we look forward eagerly to the opening of our new library up the street, let's take a moment for a minute to pause and remember all the wonderful times we've had here. From the story times, special programs, the film festivals. I'm sure you've got things of your own that you can think of that are your favorites. The Christmas literary, that was always one of mine. So many things. All the access to the books, the media, and computers that we've all enjoyed. The list goes on.
Anderson also remarked on the transition from the old building to the new.
It's truly an end of an era to which many librarians, pages, clerks, technologists, and then all the volunteers in the community and all the people who use the library have contributed greatly. Today we close the doors for the last time at 4 o'clock, and then we look forward up the hill into a great new era that lies ahead of us in our fabulous new building. So thanks to everyone who's worked so hard to make it all happen once again.
Thank you.
The finishing touches will be going on the new 10,000 square foot facility two blocks up the street during the month of August. While staff and volunteers will be moving the operation over the next month, librarian Alcock says her staff is geared up to make the move with some help.
And we've got a nice list of wonderful volunteers who we're going to call on mid-month to actually help pack the books into boxes in order. And then the local moving company will take them up to the site, and then we'll have those volunteers help us take those books out of the boxes in order, put them back on the shelf, and then we have to make sure everything's in its place before we open.
The new library is scheduled to open September 3rd. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. And now here's a look at Sitka's own weather. Today, expect decreasing clouds with areas of fog in the morning, highs around 67. Tonight, mostly cloudy with areas of fog late, lows around 54. And Friday, mostly cloudy with highs around 66.